Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Finding your mountain is finding what matters to you. Finding what drives you. Finding your mountain isn't about reaching the top. It's about how you're transformed by each step that takes you there.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown, and I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. We are in our third week of our series, Finding Your Mountain. And during this series, we are looking at some of the lessons and the experiences that our senior pastor, Rob Fuquay, who's up at our North Campus right now, that he experienced on his summer-long sabbatical. If you're new around here and you're like, "I know nothing about this context," I'll tell you just a little bit. So he received a clergy sabbatical grant from the Lilly Foundation. And he was able to do some really awesome stuff, most of which revolved around mountains. And one of the sort of highlights of his journey was he and his wife, Susan, climbed to Everest Base Camp on their sabbatical. So he's brought back some thoughts and some lessons and some experiences that we're kind of diving into together as a whole church. And today, as we start, we're actually going to look at a little clip of him preaching at a church in Nepal. Now, as Rob was prepping for this journey, he realized that there was one United Methodist Church in this whole area of Nepal. And so he was super intrigued. He's like, "Okay, I'm going to reach out to this pastor. I'm going to try to come visit." So they had some email exchanges. They set all this up. And then the day before he was going, he got a confirmation email. Well, this is wonderful. We love a good confirmation email when we're trying to make plans. The issue was, in the confirmation email, there was a bit of a twist, because the pastor at this church said, "So just confirming your visit tomorrow, you'll be preaching and I'll be translating." That had not been the discussion, but Rob felt like it was kind of a bad look to be like, no, I'm on sabbatical, I won't be doing that. So he's like, sure, I'll come and preach, you translate. And I want you to see just a few minutes about what he talked about, because this sets up our conversation today. You'll also notice that Rob has some exciting traditional outfit that they gave him, and I really want you to pay attention to the pastor of this church as he interprets. Because this guy is the MVP. I just want you to know. So take a look at these few minutes.
North Carolina, where we have the Appalachian Mountains. They are the oldest mountains in the world. But compared to your marvelous Himalayas, they're T90. I never thought in my life I would be able to see the Himalayas and Mount Everest in person. Mountains inspire my soul. They display the grandeur of God. But when we arrived in Nepal, I didn't get to have that. It was cloudy and raining. We hiked for 3 days. All we saw were clouds. My wife and I began to wonder, why are we here? We came to see the mighty Himalayas. I don't believe they exist. And then the clouds parted. And you could see mighty peaks. They were there all along. Every direction we looked, massive mountains. I realized we had been surrounded by glory all along. Why couldn't we have that every day? Because it would not be good. The earth needs rain. We depend on the water. But because of what we need, we can't always see what inspires our souls. And when the clouds come, we have to remember we're surrounded by glory.
Yes. Oh, it was so fun to watch. As a preacher, it made my heart very happy. But today, what we're going to be looking at together is this idea of what it means to be surrounded by God's glory in moments where we can't necessarily see it. When we've got kind of an obstructed view, when maybe we're in a season of our life where things are not going according to plan, or we're having some challenges or struggles, and it feels like that thing that we're looking for is really far away or really hard to see, like Rob had with not being able to see these giant mountains that they knew were there, but they just couldn't get a glimpse of them. And to do that, we're looking at this story out of the book of Exodus. Now, I have to tell you that this is one of my very favorites. So Exodus is probably my very favorite book of the Bible, and this story that's contained in chapter 16 is one of my favorite stories in the entirety of Scripture. And the reason I love it so much is because I think this is such an awesome example of what it looks like for God to show up for people when they just think that hope is completely gone. It's when God shows up for people when they don't know what's going to happen. We see the story of the ancient Israelites as they're leaving Egypt, as they're trying to form this new life in this new place. And we see that God loves people and that people can trust God even when the outcome feels very mysterious and even when God feels really far away. You know, I think I love this so much and it resonates because when we're in moments of struggle, those can be two of the hardest truths for us to hold on to, that God loves us and that we're able to trust God in the middle of whatever the thing is. And so one of the first things that we're reminded of in this Exodus story is this key truth, and that's that God pays attention to us when we struggle. God pays attention to us when we struggle. We see this all over this story, from the very beginning of this whole narrative. When the book of Exodus starts, you see the ancient Israelites, and they're living in this land called Egypt. They're living as slaves. They have this really horrible, difficult life, and they cry out to God, God, can you change our circumstances? Can you make it better? Can you just do something? And in this story, we see the people cry out, God hears them, and God acts. Then they leave Egypt, they get to the wilderness, which is where we find them today. Spoiler alert, the wilderness is rough. I mean, it's hard circumstances. And so they're out there, and they're starving, and they don't know how they're going to make it. And so again, they cry out to God. They say, God, we're hungry. God, we're mad. God, we think we would have been better off in Egypt. Can you help us? And again, the people cry out. Their God hears them, and their God responds. We start to see this pattern take shape in this book of Exodus, of the people facing a challenge, the people crying out to God, and God hearing them and acting on what God has heard. And I think this is a really important pattern for us to pay attention to as we try to relate to God, as we try to go through the struggles that happen in our lives. Because I think this pattern, what it does is it gives us some permission. It gives us permission when we're going through challenges to just tell the truth about what's going on. It gives us permission to say, God, what I'm going through isn't good. What I'm going through isn't what I want. Maybe what I'm going through isn't fair. I mean, we can say that to God. When we look at the way that people cry out to God in this story, there's absolutely no expectations that they, like, take all these lemons they've been handed and they make lemonade with them. Like, we never see that. We never see God say to the people, hey, could you just find the silver lining? Could you just find the optimistic viewpoint in what you're going through? Like, God doesn't expect them to do that. And so I guess as we talk about this idea of getting a glimpse of God's glory when you're going through hard things, I just want to say if you're someone who's been told, like, you have to find the bright side no matter what you're going through, especially as a person of faith, I just want to invite you to release that today. Because I just don't think that's what this story asks us to do. This story actually asks us to do the opposite. It says, bring your struggle. Bring your truth. Bring it to God. And God will know what to do. You know, when we look at these folks who lived in ancient Israel, what really draws me into their story is that I don't think they were, like, a lot more enlightened than you and I. You know, we read these stories, and if you are an Old Testament fan, like your pastor is, you know, we read these stories in the Old Testament, and they're these big epic narratives of these people who followed God. But I think what's amazing is that they had just as many questions as you and I tend to have. I mean, when they were crying out to God in the wilderness, I don't think they knew the mechanics of how prayer works. I don't think they knew, like, okay, we're going to say this thing, and God will respond this way, and we can go through our leaders. I mean, I think they were just desperate. And in fact, when God would respond to them, they weren't always the most grateful people. You saw that in the scripture that Becky read for us. I mean, they complained. They said, oh, we don't want to be here. We should have died. Like, does God even know what God's doing? But what's so powerful in this story is that the thing about God's hearing and responding to the people in their moment of crisis, it doesn't depend on any of that. God's work, God's love isn't contingent on how they respond. It doesn't really matter if they say thank you. It doesn't really matter if they get it. God just shows up and acts because that's who God is. That's how God loves people. And I think that that's something we can hold on to when we're in a moment of challenge, when we're trying to find where God is in the midst, to remember that God is showing up even if we don't know what that's going to be like or even how to respond. Maybe you're in a moment of wilderness right now in your life. Maybe you're coming out of a moment of wilderness. At some point, you're going to go into a moment of wilderness. Maybe that's the bad news of this sermon. But we're all going to find ourselves in this place where we feel alone, where we feel challenged, where we just don't really know what hope looks like. And if that's you, if that's your place, I just want you to remember that God is aware and God is responsive. And sometimes as God does respond, it doesn't always look the way that we think it's going to look. Because sometimes God's intervention and presence can be very simple and a little bit surprising. You know, when the Israelites, they go to their leaders, Moses and Aaron, and they have their complaints. We heard their complaints in this scripture. And I don't think they expect God to do what God ends up doing in this situation. You know, I don't think they expected this weird heaven bread to come down from the sky every single morning. It's like, here are your carbs for the day. Okay, like, I just don't think that's what they wanted. I don't think that they expected they would get all these random flocks of quail to just show up and here's your protein for the day. And we're going to do this every day for a very long time. Like, that is not what they were asking for. That's not what they were hoping for. At one point, they say, Moses, remember Egypt? And Moses is like, yes, y'all, I remember Egypt. It was bad there. But they don't see it that way. Because it said we had all the food that we needed. We were feasting. It would have actually been better if we had just died there rather than to go here where God has led us. Because we can't quite see how this thing is going to resolve itself. But here's the thing about how God responds to them. It's not what they expect. It's not what they hope the menu would have on it. But it's enough. It's enough for them. It's enough to take them beyond a place of deep struggle and certain death to a place where they're going to make it, to a place where they can have a future. It's a glimpse of God. And sometimes, especially in that moment, that glimpse is enough to help them make it through. There's a great example of the power of what a glimpse can do in this new movie called Young Woman and the Sea. John talked in the announcements about our midweek message email. And if you get that, you've already heard me talk about this movie because we are watching it on loop in my home right now. I made my kids stop watching it to watch the Olympics, okay? So we love this movie. It is really a great film. It's on Disney Plus. It made me cry, which, I mean, tells you nothing about the content of the movie. I understand that, but I'm willing to bet you will cry too if you watch this. But it is the true story of Trudy Ederle. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel. She did it in 1926. You can imagine, as a female athlete in 1926, she had some struggles. She had some challenges. Trudy actually overcame measles as a young girl. Everyone thought she was going to die. She survived. Once she started swimming, she entered a world where women had to wear like pantaloons, which is not very conducive for competitive swimming. People didn't know what to do with female athletes. Like, it just was not a friendly, hospitable world. As she started her swim, she dealt with prejudice, she dealt with sabotage, she just dealt with so many obstacles as she tried to reach her goal. But for Trudy, the biggest obstacle of all actually came during the end of her swim. She had a boat with her, because a lot of times you'll have a guide boat, right, that gives you food and encouragement. And most importantly, when you're out on the open sea, it gives you direction, so you know that you're swimming the way you need to swim. Well, toward the end of the swim, with only several miles left, they entered what was known as the shallows. And the boat couldn't keep going forward. They said, Trudy, we have to go a different way to get to shore. You're going to have to finish the swim on your own. So she kept swimming, and it started to get dark. And she started to get disoriented. She had a moment where she thought, this is probably the end of this. And not just the end of the swim, but this might actually be the end of my life. I think I'm lost out here. I think I'm not going to make it forward. But then there was a glimpse. She looked ahead of her, and on the shore, there were bonfires. Her family and the spectators waiting for her had started building and lighting these fires so that she could see the way forward, so that she could complete the swim. She's able to keep moving forward. She's able to see what's possible. She's able to have hope, and she's able to attain this amazing goal. I mean, that is what a glimpse can do. You know, stories like Trudy's remind us that even the smallest encounter with God can sustain us through a difficult time. Even the smallest encounter. Now, that doesn't mean your whole challenge is resolved. That doesn't mean everything gets worked out the way that you would hope, but it does mean that we can be sustained, we can make it, we can go through a challenge even if we can't see the total resolution and total outcome. If we go back to the story of the ancient Israelites in the wilderness, this is absolutely the case for them. They did not see their whole problem solved when God responded to them. They got food, they survived, but they were still in the wilderness. What they really wanted at the depth of their soul was to get out of there, was to go somewhere new, was to have a home. And God said, it's not time for that, but I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to be alone. You're not going to be totally desperate. You're going to survive, and it's going to be okay. God was going to be faithful to them, even if everything didn't get resolved the way that they hoped. I think the challenges that we face in this life, a lot of times, they don't resolve the way that we hope. They don't fully resolve at all. But we still get to have these glimpses of God's faithfulness. We still get to have these glimpses of God's love. And we still get to take that love and show it to other people. When I think about some of the challenges that we face, I think that's one of the greatest gifts that we get. We go through things. They're hard. They change us. But then we get to show up in our relationships. We get to show up in our spaces of the world that we occupy just differently, with more empathy, with more compassion. You know, we could choose to be bitter. We could choose to just lead with anger. Or We can choose to let the hard things we go through transform us. That's maybe one of the gifts that God gives us in the middle of our challenges. And I just believe that when we try that, when we lean in, when we draw people in, when we love people the way that we see God is loving us, I don't think that effort is wasted. I think God can do some powerful stuff in the middle of that, and that God is going to meet us there. Now, I think the challenge with all of this is that it's really hard to keep moving forward like we're talking about. It's hard to do that. It's actually much more tempting to try to look behind us, to try to think about the past, to try to think about the good old days, to try to want to go back to that time before whatever that thing is that happened that made life so hard. We see this with the ancient Israelites. We see them romanticizing their time in Egypt, saying, if we could just go back, we were feasting there. It was great. It wasn't great. I mean, read the first part of Exodus. It was the worst. But it's hard to remember that. And it's hard to hold on to hope that God might do something in the future that we haven't even seen yet. It's hard to trust that God is going to show up, that God's going to give us those glimpses of God's presence and glory, and that we're actually going to be okay. There's this part in verse 10 where it feels like they get it a little bit. And I think it's a lesson that maybe we can draw from as we think about this. In verse 10, we see their perspective start to change. It says, they look toward the wilderness, and then they saw God's glory. It's in that moment where they take an honest assessment of where they are and what God is doing that they get to see those glimpses, that they get to believe that God is actually with them and working and hasn't forgot about them. It's in this moment that I think they begin to realize that the wilderness isn't just some inconvenient moment in their story, but it's actually an essential chapter to their story. This is the thing that's going to shape them into who they'll become as a people, as individuals, as people who follow God. And I think this is the moment where they realize that God hasn't abandoned them, but God is just meeting them in a new place, in a very specific way, and in a way that can take them to whatever is next. Sometimes when we're in those places, God meets us in a really specific way. Maybe God meets us in a way God couldn't if we didn't have that challenge. Now, I'm not saying that that makes the challenge inherently good. I'm not saying you have to go find that silver lining. That's not the point of this. But I think the point is to just say, is God present? Is God in the midst of this? How can I see that? How can I believe it? And how can I live into that truth? Because I think what we can do when we find ourselves in these moments is we can look for the glimpses of God at work. Because if we think that we need to leave the wilderness in order to find God's glory, I think we're going to feel very impatient. I mean, again, read further in Exodus. They're there for 40 whole years. This is not quick. It does not wrap up quickly. They have no choice but to find God in their wilderness moment. I think sometimes we do too. And if we think that our wilderness has to totally change in order to find God's glory, then we're just going to get discouraged. Again, they had what they needed. They survived. But the wilderness was going to do what the wilderness was going to do. Like, that was constant. Where I think we find hope is when we let ourselves find God's presence and glory in the wilderness. When we let ourselves plant our feet exactly where we are, and we look around us, and we find the glimpses. when we let ourselves embrace the mystery of how God works in the middle of our biggest challenges. And that's the moment when we find our God being faithful, our God loving us, our God showing up. That's when we find hope that keeps us going. That's when we might find exactly what we need, even if it's just a glimpse. Let's pray together. God, you know what we need. You know the wilderness that we find ourselves in. You know whatever the challenge looks like. But God, you also know exactly the kind of glimpse that will keep us going. And so I pray that we would see that. I pray that we would have the wisdom and the hunger to look for those glimpses, to look for you, and to know, God, that wherever we are, whatever path this journey takes, you're meeting us there with exactly what we need and with the love that only you can bring. Amen.